How many of you were at church Wednesday night? I'm going to tell you, you need to come to church Wednesday night. Right in the middle of the sermon, I mean, I am putting it on them, bringing the fire and the heat, the lights, poof. Two things happen. Either I preach the lights out, which I have to tell myself, or y'all hadn't been given and the electric bill wasn't paid. But anyway, it was fun, and the people in this room were so crazy. I said, let's go home, and they said, no, continue, because they knew if I didn't, we'd come back next week, and they'd have to hear the same thing. So they said, let's get it over with tonight. Thank you for being here today. We are so glad that you are here. Back in the early 1990s, Dr. Martin Seligman, who still may be, but then he was a professor at the University of Pennsylvania, psychology professor, a PhD in psychology and a counselor, wrote a book called Learned Optimism. It's a very good book. And in that book, he talks about we as a country, and this was in the early 90s, are in the middle of an epidemic. He said an epidemic that is taking more lives directly and indirectly than at that time HIV and AIDS were, that was 10 times more common than it was a generation ago. In fact, it was 10 times more common than it was 50 years ago. Move ahead to 2017, last year, the World Health Organization, talking about the same thing, said that we are in the middle of an epidemic that is ravaging our country, our world, and they honed in on America, and that it has got nothing but worse in the last 15 or 20 years. What were those people talking about? They were talking about depression. World Health Organization said that depression and anxiety are not only the greatest mental health problem in our country, but they are now the greatest medical problem in our country. What I find interesting about that is that Dr. Seligman said that in the early 90s, it was 10 times more prevalent than it was in the 40s. That's incredible. And the World Health Organization saying, and since the early 90s till now, it has increased more and more and more. We have a problem. We're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 20 this morning. Jeremiah 20, if you have your Bible. If you don't, no problem. The scriptures will be on the screens. We're in a series about being sane in an insane world. And we're going to talk this morning about dealing with our depression. And we're going to talk about it next week also. But I want to begin with this. I just want to ask you a question. This is one of those you don't raise your hands to. But are you depressed this morning? If you're a man, you may be depressed and you don't even know you're depressed. So maybe we can walk through some things that can help you identify that. The hero of our story is a guy named Jeremiah. And I think you're going to agree after reading one verse of his story in this chapter, he was depressed. Verse 14 through 20, yet I cursed the day I was born. Now, if someone walked in your office and that's the first thing they said to you, would you agree they need help? Yes. May no one celebrate my birthday. I want everyone to celebrate mine, don't you? I mean, he's like, Facebook, don't anybody even recognize that I've been born. I curse the messenger who told my father, good news, you have a son. Let him be destroyed like the cities of old, Sodom and Gomorrah, that the Lord overthrew without mercy. Kill the guy who just announced that I was born. That's not positive. Verse 17, because he did not kill me at birth. Oh, that I would have died in my mother's womb, and that her body had been my grave. Why was I ever born? My entire life has been filled with trouble, sorrow, and shame. This is a depressed guy. Now, we know the only people that get depressed, at least that are men, are sissies. Right? Weak people. No, in fact, that's just the opposite. In fact, a lot of times the people who are going to struggle with stress and depression and anxiety are the achievers. Jeremiah was a great guy, a great leader. In fact, he's the prophet that Jesus quotes the most in the New Testament. Let me give you a list of people who struggled in the Bible, and this is not exhaustive, who struggled with depression. Moses struggled with depression. King David struggled with it. We're going to see next week Elijah the prophet struggled with it. Jeremiah, obviously. John the Baptist, who Jesus said was the greatest person who ever walked the earth, struggled with depression. I saw a few years ago a report about the CEOs of the 500 top Fortune companies in America, the 500 CEO Fortune 500. Half of those CEOs admitted that they experienced a lot of depression in and out of their lives. That's pretty incredible. If you're a New England Patriots fan, you're probably still depressed, aren't you, from last week? And parents, I think this is very interesting, too. If you have young ones, a study was done of people 12 to 24, young people 12 to 24. They did it from 2005 to 2014, studying their depression levels. Here's what they found out from people who should be in the prime happiness of their life, 12 to 24, that from the year 2005 to the year 2014, that depression had gone up 37% in that age group during that time. That's incredible. It's pervasive. You may not be depressed today, but if you're blessed to live much longer, you probably will. And if you're not today, you may be tomorrow, but you know people who are. So let's see what God says to us in this passage. There's a lot of kinds of depressions. There's bipolar or manic. There's postpartum that women have, some women have after they have babies. There's depressions that's more biological, more psychological. But let's jump into what Jeremiah 20 says and see some things about depression. This is a great chapter on the subject. Let's answer this. Try to answer this. Why do we get depressed? Now, again, this isn't exhaustive. Why do you get depressed? Why do I get depressed? Maybe it is biology. Maybe it's hormones. It's your glands. Maybe it's psychological. But let me give you four things that happened to Jeremiah that still happen to us. Here's the first thing. Bad and stressful situations. Bad and stressful circumstances can bring you down. In verse 1 and 2, it says, "Now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest in charge of the temple of the Lord, heard what Jeremiah was prophesying." Jeremiah was just prophesying what God told him to. He was just speaking God's word. So he arrested Jeremiah the prophet. He had him whipped. He had him put in stocks at the Benjamin Gate of the Lord, at the Lord's temple. Now, man, this is, we're so far removed from this, we may not understand what was going on. But Jeremiah's a prophet. He's a Jewish prophet in the country of Judah and in the kingdom of Judah, and it's bad time. I mean, things are tough, things are hard, things aren't good, but he's preaching the truth. And the temple is probably his most favorite place outside of his own home there is in the whole world. And one of the leaders of the temple, a religious leader, gets him because he's preaching, has him beaten, has him put in stocks. Now, stocks, if you were to go back and look in the colonial days of our country, a wooden frame where they put your head and your hands and your feet in there, very, very uncomfortable. It'd feel terrible. It'd be humiliating. And he's probably in there 24 hours, and it's like right down here at the altar on a Sunday morning at the church that he's over here in those stocks. I mean, it would have been terrible. Part of the reason that Jeremiah was to a point where he was willing to throw up his Old Testament scrolls and say, "I want to go do something else," because, man, his circumstances were just beating him down. And that's what happens to a lot of us. We get in circumstances or situations. We're facing things that are just wearing us out. And when they wear us out, one of the things that comes with that, man, we just get down, whether it's a deep depression or it's just sad or it's the blues. Monster.com website said this. I don't know if it seems high to me, but they said 75% of people around the world, I'm going to assume this would include students going to school, have what they call Sunday night blues because they're not looking forward to Monday. Some of that's just lazy and slacker. Some of that is you got a job that's not good, you don't like school, and when life's pressing you down, when your circumstances at home or at work or in your community, maybe it's physical pain or physical problems, are wearing you out, listen, one of the things that can spin off from that is depression. Here's the second thing. Sometimes you just feel like God's let you down. I wonder if we could be real honest. It'd be neat sometime to do this on a card that you didn't have to sign. Do you ever feel like God's just failed you? Look in verse 7. "Oh Lord, you misled me, and I allowed myself to be misled." Let me paraphrase what he's saying. God, no, he's wrong, but here's what he's saying. God, you lied to me, and I let you lie to me. You're stronger than I am, and you overpowered me. God, I can't whip you, and you whipped me, is what he's saying. "And now I am mocked every day, and everyone laughs at me." You pray, you don't get the answer to your prayer. You want that job or that situation, you want that to work out. You're starting to read your Bible, you're coming back to church, you're trying to live for God, and it's not happening. And it's real easy to feel like that God is just not there. He's not coming through for you. And when you start feeling like God's letting you down, listen, you're starting to enter a hole that's going to go downwards. But in verse 8 through 10, we get a little more perspective. When I speak the words burst out, violence and destruction, I'm speaking what God wants, he says. I shout. So these messages from the Lord, what God's telling me to preach, have made me a household joke. But if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name, his words burn in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I am worn out trying to hold it in. He's saying, I don't even want to serve God, but I have to. How many of you ever feel like that? Preachers do occasionally. I've heard the many rumors about me. They call me the man who lives in terror. His nickname was Old Death and Destruction. Isn't that a good name for a preacher? If you say anything, we're going to report it. Even my old friends are watching, waiting for a fatal slip. He will trip himself, trap himself, they say, and we will get our revenge on him. Jeremiah is saying, you know, God, I'm preaching, I'm praying, I'm inviting people to the temple, I'm trying to get them to turn to you, and it's not working. In fact, it's just the opposite. And some of you have experienced that. You're experiencing that now. You're praying for people. You're teaching a Bible study class. You invite people to come to church. You tell them about Jesus, and you try to get them to come to Christ, and you get rejected, and even you get made fun of. And at some point, you go, man, this is wearing me out. I saw this statistic this week. I don't know if it's this high, but that 70% of pastors struggle with depression on a regular basis. And here's why I'm going to guess that's true, but it's just like you too. When you're trying to do what's right, and you're trying to live for God, and you're trying to serve God, and you're not seeing results, it's easy to say, where's God in all this? And you feel like God's let you down, it's not a positive thing. Here's the third thing. We feel like others have let us down. When you feel like other people have let you down, man, it can bring you down. Verse 10, I've heard the rumors about me. They call me the man who lives in terror. They threaten, if you say anything, we're going to report it. My friends are watching, waiting for a fatal slip. He will trap himself, and we will get our revenge. You know, we're going to look in a moment at another side of this, but sometimes people do let you down. You love them, they don't love you back. You give, they take, they don't give back. You serve people, they're appreciative, they don't serve back. You go out of your way to help people, you're loyal to people, and they stick you in the back, or they're not there for you. And I'm not talking about you're dreaming that up, that's reality. And you know what? Man, that is heartbreaking. It is depressing. Your girlfriend breaks up with you, your boyfriend breaks up with you. God forbid your marriage goes bad. Somebody dies that you didn't want to die, and man, it just wears you out. Sometimes they didn't mean to let you down, but it just happened. And when you feel like people have let you down, and that gets a hold to your mind and heart, it's going to bring you down. And the last part of this, too, is we get depressed when we start thinking negatively and irrationally. I'm not going to read the whole thing again, but in verse 7, you know, when he says, hey, God, you lied to me. God, you pinned me down and made me do stuff. That just wasn't true. In verse 14, when he says, I cursed the day I was born, may no one celebrate the day of my birth. I mean, he's depressed, and he's got some reasons to be down, but he's going really negative and really irrational. And I just want to say to you this morning that we're going to see this feeds on itself, but if you don't watch your thoughts, if you let yourself become a negative person, oh, I just see things reality. No, you're probably negative. If you're thinking irrational, listen, God, I know you feel like God's let you down. He really hasn't. If you feel like everybody hates you, that they really don't. If you let yourself go negative and irrational, it's going to take you down and down and down and down. So let's answer a third question this morning. What happens when we get depressed? We can see why we get depressed. What are some things to look for? Maybe today, as we walk through some of these things from Jeremiah's life, you can look in your life and you might be able to see, you know what, I've got a problem. Or someone you love, you can see that. Here's some common things that we may even look at next week. You know, sleep and eating disorders. A lot of times when a person's depressed, it affects how they sleep. My best friend, when he gets depressed, he sleeps 12 hours. I get depressed, I can't sleep at all. I would rather be him. He gets depressed, he won't eat anything. I get depressed, I'll eat 15 boxes of Little Debbie's at 3 in the morning because I can't sleep. But it's not funny, really, is it, when you're having to weigh the next day? Depression a lot of times will bring on anxiety. A lot of things come with it. But let me share with you some things from the Scriptures, too. Number one, it can move us from God. This is serious. I'm going to bet when Jeremiah said to God, God, you lied to me, you misled me. At this point in his life, he's not what we would say in a great committed relationship with the Heavenly Father. See, what happens when you start getting depressed, if you're not careful, and you start blaming God for it, you'll stop coming to church, you'll stop reading your Bible, you'll stop praying, you'll stop interacting with other people that loves Jesus. You're supposed to be serving God, you'll stop serving God. And you're sure not going to make it any better. But one thing you can see, sometimes people quit coming to church. They're sick. They've got physical problems. Maybe they're away from God. Sometimes they're just down and out, and it's tough to get up and come. But if you're not careful, it'll move you from God, and that's certainly not something that you want to happen. Here's the second thing. We become more irrational. It's strange being irrational and negative can cause depression, but it also deepens it. It's not only a symptom and a sign, it's a root, it's all of those things. In verse 18 again, he kind of concludes this real negative spiel. Why was I ever born? My entire life has been filled with trouble and sorrow. I just want to say this again, that's just not true for him. Jeremiah's life from day one had not been terrible. Not everybody hated him, but the more down he got, the more negative and irrational he got. That's happening to some of you this morning. You see something bad behind anything that's good. I mean, you're always unhappy. You're going to be negative. And then you wonder why you're depressed. You can't be negative and happy at the same time. You can't be irrational and healthy at the same time. A lot of times, the more depressed we get, the more irrational we get. A third thing that happens is we isolate ourselves from other people. No doubt when Jeremiah was at this point, he wanted to go home at the end of the day. And this is an indicator right here. You don't want to come to church. You go to work, you go home. You don't want to socialize much. You don't care to spend time with family or friends like you once did. Certainly it's a symptom or a root, but it's also a symptom of it. And lastly, I would say with this, a lot of times you experience a wide range of emotions with depression. Verse 13 is really neat. We're going to see it more in a moment. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord. For though I was poor and needy, he rescued me from my oppressors. Now look at verse 14. One verse later, I cursed the day I was born. How many of you believe Jeremiah was on an emotional seesaw here? Man, God, I love you. God, you're wonderful. Man, I hate my birthday. That's not healthy, is it? There was a psychology professor who was training young master's degree students, trying to help them to interpret what's wrong with people. So he laid out some symptoms. He said, okay, you're seeing a patient, and they say, you know, one minute I'm standing and I'm screaming and clapping, and the next minute I'm sitting and I'm crying. What am I? And a student who is a student athlete raised his hand real quick and said, you're a basketball coach. You are depressed, aren't you, because of the sermon. You're not laughing. That is funny, because basketball coaches go from here to here quick. He was talking about manic depressive, obviously. A lot of times what happens when we get depressed is we have a wide range of emotions. And again, men, a lot of times we don't even know we have feelings, but we do. And so we don't understand what's going on. We just know we don't feel good. But maybe it is anger. Maybe it is despondency. Maybe it's just that I want to quit and I want to give up. But look for those things going on in your heart and your life. That was certainly what was going on with Jeremiah. Now, here's the question we got to answer this morning. How do we get better? How do we get better? Some of you are depressed this morning. Some of you will be in the next month. That's part of life. Some of you are dealing with people who are depressed. How do we get better? How do we stay on a fairly even positive plane? Maybe you need medicine. Maybe you need counseling. Those can be from God, absolutely. But I love what a psychiatrist named Ann McBride, Cornell Medical University, said about medicine. And I think this is so accurate. She said a pill can help with your anxiety. It can help with your depression, but it rarely solves the problem. In other words, there's a root problem that you've got to get to. Medicine can help you function, but you need help. You need to dive deeper to find out what's causing the problem or solutions. Let me give you some solutions. Number one, don't quit. Don't quit. Listen, Jeremiah is in a hole, but what he doesn't do is he does not quit. Jeremiah does not quit. Some of you are thinking today, man, I know some of you go, well, you know, I may just take my life if I can't get out of this. That's never the solution. Or I'm going to quit on life, quit on my marriage. I'm just going to dig a hole and live in that hole. Galatians 6:9 is a tremendous verse. Galatians 6:9, let us not get tired of doing what is good. That's what's right and positive. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if what? We don't give up. Number one, with your depression or whatever you're going through today, man, do not quit. Number two, get a hold of your thoughts. Again, you cannot be negative and be happy. You cannot be irrational and live at peace and sanely. You've got to get a hold of your thoughts. I may preach this in a few weeks, the whole sermon, but if you'll think three things, you think biblically, rationally, and positively. In other words, ground yourself with the boundaries of God in your thinking. Think rationally. Everybody doesn't hate you. Everyone's not against you. Some people aren't good. Some people aren't nice and true, but not everybody's that way. And think positive. Dr. Henry Cloud is a great Christian psychologist, written a lot of books, and he echoes what a lot of almost all psychologists would say, is that you've got to get a hold of your thinking. You've got to get a hold of your thought process, because your thoughts, more than anything else, determine your feelings. Did you hear me? Your thoughts, more than anything else, determine your feelings. Get a hold of your thoughts. Here's the next thing to get a hold of. Get a hold of Jesus and don't let go. Isn't it great to know that you can tackle Jesus? Well, you can't tackle him. You can never take him down. But you can get a hold of him. He'll drag you to the end zone. But that's what you want, isn't it? I want that. Get a hold of Jesus and don't let go. And let me give you some steps with this that we see in this passage. Number one, pour your heart out to God and keep doing it. Pour your heart out to him and keep doing it. I want to read verse 7 one more time just because it's a fun verse. Oh, Lord, you lied to me, and I let you mislead me, God. You're stronger than I am, and you have overpowered me. One thing that Jeremiah was not was a coward. Would y'all agree with me? And I'm not encouraging you to be disrespectful to God, but Jeremiah got honest with God, didn't he? We don't get honest with God. We pray sissy prayers, don't we? We pray safe prayer. Don't get dishonest with God. But a lot of us, we're just talking behind God's back. Do you really think he doesn't know what you're thinking? Do you really think he doesn't know? He knows. You are not going to say something to God that's going to make him dizzy and he's going to fall off the throne. He's not going to look at the sun and go, man, did you just hear what he said? It's not going to happen. Don't be disrespectful, but pour your heart out to God. If you feel like God has failed you, be honest with him. If you feel like he's let you down, tell him that. Pour your heart out to God psychologically, spiritually. This is so, so healthy. Pour your heart out to God. God's your best friend. Man, he's your Lord and Savior, but he's your best friend. Pour your heart out to him. Secondly, dwell on the positive promises of God. Jeremiah does this just for a second. Just for a second. Verse 11 and 12. The Lord stands beside me like a great warrior. Before him, my persecutors, they're going to fall. They can't defeat me. They will fail and be thoroughly humiliated. Their dishonor won't be forgotten. O Lord of heaven's armies, you test those who are righteous. You examine their deepest thoughts. Let me see your vengeance against the bad guys. For just a brief moment, Jeremiah went back and he held on to the positive promises of God. Here's what you need to do. Memorize a few good scriptures at least and hold on to those. Joshua 1:9 is a great scripture. It says, be not afraid, don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It never gets too hot in the furnace for God. Isn't that great? No matter how down you are, God will stay with you. There's so many other ones. Psalms 55:22. Cast your burdens on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will not let the righteous be moved. Our memory verse this month, 1 Peter 5:7. Cast your cares on the Lord because God cares for you. Get a hold of some scriptures. Email me this week. I will send you some. And hold on to the word of God. And lastly, you praise and thank God continually. You're depressed. Praise and thank God continually. Sing to the Lord. Some of you don't need to do that unless it's in private. But praise the Lord. For though I was poor and needy, he rescued me from my oppressors. If you're taking notes, write this down. That biblical word praise means to be bright. It means to shine or to celebrate. It means radiance. It's just the opposite of depression. Guys, after this story, Jeremiah had preached for 20 years. After this story, he goes on and preaches another 20 years. Things don't get a lot easier for him. But we never, at least in the Bible, have any record of him having a great sinking spell like he just had. It may be because he began to focus more on praising God and thanking God. Folks, study after study says being grateful and thankful not only blesses God and people you appreciate, but it blesses you. You get up in the morning, you praise the Lord. You thank God. Start off your day with five things you're thankful for. Say them to yourself and say them to God. If you're depressed, do that at lunch. Do it before you go to bed. You can't praise and thank God enough. Listen, part of your transformation may be medicine, it may be counseling, but you will change the way you think, the way you see things, the way you see other people. You'll be counting your blessings instead of counting your scars if you will begin to praise and thank God more and more. Focus on what you have versus what you don't have. Jeremiah pulled out of this. And the great news for you and me is with God, we can always, always get the victory if we're willing to do it His way. So the question is, will you and will I? Let's pray. This morning, if you're a Christian, I'm going to talk to you more in just a second. But I pray that God's working on your heart and encouraging you on what you need to do. If you're not a Christian, but maybe you're ready today to cross that line with Christ, pray with me. And just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I want to turn from my sin. Jesus, I believe, I accept that you're God's Son and that you died and that you arose for me. Come into my heart, and I surrender my life to you, Jesus. Let me have your attention. We're going to stand in a moment to give you an opportunity to respond. Maybe you just prayed and asked Jesus to come into your heart, or maybe you did that, or you're ready to do that. When we stand, you can come right now and talk to one of our ministers about that decision. Come and do that. Maybe you don't want to walk an aisle. I understand. I'll be at this door. Other ministers will be around. We'd be happy to help you after church. Don't leave the building without taking care of that. Maybe you'd like to join our church. Man, we would love for you to. We want to be a fun place, a joyful place. You need a church, and we need you. You can come and join during the invitation, or you can do that after church too. Others of you here, you're Christians. Maybe you're struggling with depression this morning. Maybe you're getting beat up by the blues. Man, we'd love to pray for you. We open the altar for you to come and pray. But you decide whether it's at the altar or where you're standing to let God help you get to where you need to be. Let's stand. You come now as we sing.